Proverbs chapter number 11, and the title of the message today, The Tree of Life. Well, let me say a tree of life, Proverbs 11, verse number 30. You'll turn that, Proverbs 11, verse number 30. The Bible reads, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that wins souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. Now, if you were here last Sunday, we laid down the great principle of wisdom in the Word of God that we are to pursue wisdom. And we get that wisdom, of course, from God himself, for God is the fountainhead of all knowledge and wisdom. And a wise person knows that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And God's wisdom, his knowledge is perfect. It's complete. Man's knowledge and wisdom always had traces of corruption in it. But not God. God's is pure. And God tells us exactly as it is and how it will be. And I'm thankful. Put my faith, my foundation, all of the Word of God, because it's true. I don't have any doubts, fears, wonders. He didn't throw in anything unnecessary. God, he didn't soften the blow. He just told us straight out by the truth. And I'm rejoicing in that. And thank God for every day. And so we saw the principle of wisdom that it is vital, the things most important, things that are valuable. And if you remember this, the root word behind the word principle here is the shaking of the head. That is, sometimes God has to knock some sense into us. And we have to become aware and alert and stirred up as to the things that are important, things that are valuable. And we need a refresher on that all the time because we're easily led astray. And then we saw the promise of his wisdom, that the wisdom of God will promote thee. It'll make your life worth remembering. Okay? It'll make your life something that will be treasured by others. A source of inspiration, of help, of comfort, strength. And many of you have some dear saints of God, maybe a grandmother, grandfather, maybe mom and dad, aunt, uncle, somebody that God used in your life, and you have forever remembered them and are thankful for their lives and their influence and the help they give you. God said if you'll apply your heart to wisdom and you follow the principles of wisdom, I'll make your life something worth the value. And so it promotes thee, then it preserves thee. Wisdom will open up the way and guide you in the right path so that you and I can make the right steps and right decisions that come back to bless us. And then we saw the practice of wisdom. You remember, we need to keep our heart right, keep your mouth right, keep your eyes right, keep your feet right. The practice of wisdom, following these principles that God has given us. Now, we saw the great principle behind this is that wisdom guarantees outcomes. There are things we want to see happen in the future. There are things we desire. We want to be blessed. We want to have joy. We want to have peace. We want to have reward. We want good things in store in days to come. And so it's wisdom that will lead us that we might receive these things that God has led and guided us in. And so that's the reason wisdom is so important. A lot of folks have visions and dreams and aspirations of what they want in the latter parts of their life and even on eternity. But a lot of people are going to wake up and realize this is not what I had pursued. Why? They didn't follow the wisdom of God. Now, should I consider that? Notice in our scripture here, the Bible said the fruits of the righteous, the tree of life, and he that with his souls is wise. I want you to relate to that great truth. Wisdom guarantees outcomes. And as you consider it, notice here in this scripture when it talks about a wise person. A wise person wins souls. Why? Because we know what the outcomes are. We know what happens in life when all of us one day. us the appointment with death, and then we have to face God. And the Bible teaches us, and we know the outcomes of what will transpire in eternity. And so a wise person realizes that he needs to ensure that his family, friends, and acquaintances know the truth of the gospel. We want folk to go to heaven.
Amen.
Listen, we don't want anybody to go to hell. We want folk to go to heaven. We want people to be there with us in the glory of all that the Lord Jesus has been prepared. And listen, we dread the thought. The horrifying thought of anyone ending up, in the devil's hell, suffering without escape. What a horrible thing. Now notice what the Bible relates to us, that what does God's wisdom teach us to do? In relationship to the souls of men, the Bible says we are a tree of life, the fruits of the tree of life. Now, as you and I consider, fruit is the outcome or the visible evidence of the nature of the tree. As God compares us to a tree, notice here the fruits reveal the identity of the tree. And sometimes there are some trees that look kind of alike. But if you wait till the fruit comes, you'll be able to know. I have a peach tree out back, and I'm a little concerned at this early warm weather. That I'll have blossoms everywhere, and then we'll get that cold snap. So I'm always concerned about that. It's just about too big to wrap, and so you just pray and hope for the best, and hope some survives. But it is indeed a peach tree. I can confirm it because I had some peaches. And I have one little sad apple tree I told you about the other day. I lost an apple tree because I didn't get one apple off of it. It was edible. There were a few more on there, but they fell off. But I did have one survive, and it was good. It was quite impressive. And so I enjoyed that. I was kind of sad there was one, but I thought I'd get at least one. And I was kind of like the Lord Jesus in the fig tree. Yeah. Listen, you better be better than one this year, or listen, it's over. I'm not going to continue to pamper you. And fertilize you and water you, and you're not going to give you some fruit. But anyway, we can tell the identity of a tree by the fruit. And remember, the Lord Jesus taught us that when he said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so, fruits identify the nature of a tree. And so, you and I, as God's children, we are identified that we belong to the Lord Jesus, that we're saved, that we're the children of God, we've been born again by the fruits of righteousness in our life. You and I, we carry a heavy burden for professions without fruits. I think all of you probably have some family members, and all of them make professions, but you keep looking for some fruit and can't find it. And that's a heavy burden, on all of our hearts, and would to God there were fruits that we would be comforted. Listen, that perhaps this profession is the real thing, and that they are born again, and we should be concerned about it. And so, fruits reveal on this tree of life. Fruits also refresh. I do love fruit. I love all kinds of fruit. Can't hardly think of a fruit that I don't like, some I like more than others. But one reason I like it is because they refresh. They're refreshing. All I drink anymore is water once we pee. And so I will enjoy fruit and the juice that comes from it. And so it is quite refreshing to enjoy fruits. When you and I think about the fruits here of the tree of righteousness in this example, that you as a believer are like a tree that has fruit on it. Listen, it also identifies you as a child of God, but also becomes a refreshment to those around you. Ron and I used to go when we were down in Georgia. There was a peach orchard not far from us. And they would do all their shipping. You know, they would pull the peaches when they weren't ripe, so they survived the shipping process. And so when they got done with their shipping, they invited the public to bring 5 gallons of it. And the peaches that were too ripe to ship, they sold to people. We would walk through and pick those things ourselves. I'll never forget that, as long as I live. Because you always like to get a pre-ripe fruit. There is no substitute. And Ronnie can verify, we get peaches that were twice the size of what you see in the store. And when you eat them up, you better wear either an apron or have a whole shirt that you'll be wearing. Yeah. The juice is not open. Woo! You know what I mean? I mean, and we would get several 5 gallon buckets. I found out, I think it was 4 years that day, we found out that if you parboil them just for a second, just pull up. So we processed the peaches, and we would do something called sugar packing and put them in the freezer. Now, we would pull them things out in January, and I'm telling you, it's straight all over again. Ooh, the flavor is funny. I know that I'm going to go through line after this. But anyway, the fruit is refreshing. It's refreshing, and it's good and sweet, full of juice and flavor. And you know what? God is trying to teach us something about your life. God wants your life to be clearly identified as a child of God. To show forth and identify and reveal that you belong to Him. But number two, He wants your life, to be a refreshment to the lives of others. Preacher, how can we be a refreshment? Because of the love of God, God put in a compassion, a care, a concern for the lives of others. A mercy and the grace that shone, the prayers of God's children, the kindness, the giving, the grace, the truth that we have to share, the blessings. You see, God wants your life, to be like a tree that bears refreshing fruits, that when somebody comes along, they meet somebody who refreshes their soul. Because they care, because they love, because they give, because they serve, because they pray, and because, they share the joy and peace they have in Christ. It's refreshing when somebody, in this crazy world of ours, will stop and pray with you. What a rare blessing. There's a lot of hurting folks out there. And I've had several at the gym through the years. A preacher would pray for me, and I said, "Let's go record the new battle right now." Yeah. And many of them, tearful and other cheeks, had a fellow that most folks probably know. He said, "Would you come? Would you pray with me about my mom? Concerned about her diagnosis. So let's do that right now." And he was stirred and moved, looked here in his eye. Because he loved his mom and looked to the prayer. God put you out there. The Bible said you're like a tree that bears fruit. Those fruits are a source of great refreshment in the lives of people. But notice something else. You know what the main purpose of fruit is? Is to ensure the growth of the seed. One thing you'll find in all fruit, somewhere or another, you'll find seed associated with the fruit. And usually you'll find, not always, but usually find that the seed is in the midst of the And so the fruit was designed to ensure the new life as the tree seeks to reproduce itself. And so, you take all of that surrounds it when it begins. To become ripe and overripe, it becomes the first source of nutrition for the seed. Just like a little egg, when you get the egg. And we know that baby chick can survive 3 days on what it received from the egg to help ensure growth and development. And God placed the seeds inside the fruit. To ensure that it had a better chance of survival and to new growth. And so fruit was designed by the tree and by God to reproduce itself. And so God put us out there, to reveal that we're the children of God. God put us out there to refresh the lives of others, that we might reproduce, that we might see folks saved and born again, by the fruit that God put in their life to And so, thank God, there were people God used to help you and to lead you and to guide you when they shared the gospel with you along the way. Some of you probably were saved in a church service because there was somebody faithfully preaching the gospel. Some of you are saved today because you had somebody who had been calling your name out to God and praying that you might be born again. Perhaps you had a friend listening along the way that stopped one day and inquired about your soul and listen, shared the gospel with you. And so listen, thank God for the church. Thank God for the people of God. Thank God for those who have cared. Thank God for those who are willing to share the gospel of Christ so that others may be saved and born again. And so God put you out there as a tree of life to bear fruit for Him. That others are encouraged and inspired and convicted by the fruits of Christ in your life. You see, you confirm that this salvation is the real thing because you produce a fruit that is uncommon to man and uncommon to nature. There is a fruit about your life that goes beyond, what man understands. And it's an evidence of the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. And so, that encourages and helps others along the journey. You know, there's so many wonderful miracles of God in creation. The seeds always fascinated me. It's a great miracle. I fell in love with a plant 30 years ago. I don't know where I originally found it. It seemed like it was a farmer's market. I don't know. You've heard me talk about it. They just about played out. I got to get some more. But it's called a Texas star hibiscus. It's also called a swamp hibiscus. But it is a beautiful hibiscus flower, and it's red and white, about that big, and it's red and white streaks off. It's just one of those striking plants. I've seen it at the farmer's market here. They're also made white ones. I've got white ones to survive, not the red ones at all. But they will reproduce, but they're reproduced from the seed. And the seed, I got looking at the seed, the harvest of seeds, and that thing is hard as a rock. I got looking at it, and you know, I found out that was designed by God, and it requires months in the soil to begin to break down the shell of it before the seed will ever germinate. And now I tell you what, that thing blessed me because it's all the hand of God. You know what that article said? That seed covering was designed to survive the winter. And about the time the winter plays out is when that coating finally is dissolved enough. So it's protected through the harsh winter and designed, to germinate in the spring. And they said if you want to germinate one, you actually have to put it in water and you take a nail file. Okay? Any ladies done a nail file? Mom had them all that. But you had to take a nail file, work on that thing, work on it, put it back in water, work on it, in order to get past that cover to artificially get the germ. And I said, that's too much work out of the way. But anyway, just a miracle of God. And how that God ensures life. That God brings life out of the sea. And you know what God did? God surrounded this world and gave forth the gospel, the very seed of life. God sent that seed. Remember, Jesus calls Matthew 13, the sower sowing the seed. But you know what God did? God surrounded that seed with the fruits of the tree of life to encourage the growth and development of that precious seed of the gospel. You know what? I'm glad today that when somebody gets saved, you always find out that they're the people of God, other folk that were involved, can bring them to that saving knowledge of Christ. And so as the Bible says, it says the fruit of the righteous, the tree of life, and he, notice, and, here's a conjunction, it joins it together, this thought together, and he that winneth souls is wise. We know that God does the saving. However, you and I know that he He's given us the gospel that we might share with others, and given us the fruits to encourage them to put their faith in Christ, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, that speaks to me several things I want to give you quickly. First of all, it relates to the fact that there's a conflict. He that winneth. Winning, listen, comes, if you look it up, needs to be gained by effort, sacrifice, labor, and investment. And so to gain, listen, it requires an effort, a sacrifice, so we know there is a conflict involved. We know that conflict, the world, flesh, and the devil. We know there's opposition out there. But thank God we engage that opposition with the Word of God, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the love of God, with the fruits of the Spirit. And so, listen, we're going to win for Christ. It's not going to come about casually. It's going to require an effort. It's going to require sacrifice. Listen, if you're going to win at this, then it's gained by effort. Number two, not only is there a conflict, but it's going to require a commitment. It's not an easy task. We are to bear much fruit. Jesus said, "You abide in me, you'll bring forth much fruit." There are no victories without fighting. There are no crowns without crosses. And so you and I realize that if we're going to use the principle of wisdom that determines outcomes, there's nothing more important we need to see in the future than the salvation of our family and friends and those God to our family. Nothing else more important. Nothing else. Listen, then to see folk come to Christ. That is the main essential. But we know there's going to be a conflict. Therefore, it's going to require a commitment. A commitment on our part. That is, we're going to have to work at it. We're going to have to bear much fruit for the Lord. You know what that means? I need to care more than I'm caring. Are y'all with me today?
Amen.
There's a lot of folk headed to heaven. But you know what? Not many people are really care. I need more fruit in caring. I need more fruit in compassion. I need to make more commitment of kindness and giving and helping, blessing, serving. Most of all, I need more help in the matter of telling. I need more fruit in my life, God. I need more fruit. Lord, you've given us the seed. I need the fruit upon which that seed helps to germinate, to bear fruit. And so it's going to require conflict. There's conflict. And we know we're facing the old deceiver, the prince of darkness. We understand the opposition. But we make that commitment to bear more fruit, Lord, from you. And to show more of the things that you've done in our life as we witness and tell others. It relates to conflict, commitment, but also relates to consequence. If you don't win, you y'all not too bright today. Right. If you don't win, you what?
Lose.
This is far too great a cost. Something we can't afford to lose.
Amen.
Listen, we got precious lives God put in our pathway. We got precious family members. We cannot afford to lose them. Why? Because we know the losses are final. They're final. There are no second chances once the appointment of death has come. Listen, do not be deceived. There's no purgatory. The Bible doesn't mention any way, shape, or form in purgatory. Listen, hell is an eternal permanent place. Cannot afford to lose. The Bible, now this relates to us. Not only is there no escape, but the Bible says there's torment. There's torment. Cannot afford to lose. Cannot. Now listen, it's too precious. Too precious. Listen, too important, too valuable. Listen, we understand, listen, that the horrors of the loss is way too painful to consider. We know the Bible describes the darkness, the death, the torment, the lake of fire. All those things are true. They're in the Word of God. You say, "Preacher, I don't like that." Let them take it. It's still there. God says it is. And so we can't deny it. We can't escape it. Listen, we can go through and close one ear and close an eye and go about our merry way. But hell is a real place. It's a real thing. And Jesus told us about it. And listen, we should not desire any people ever go to hell. Listen, we'll do all we can. Very precious seed, bringing forth great fruits to to encourage the lives of others to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he that wins souls is wise. Because wisdom guarantees an outcome. And so we follow the great principle of the gospel that God will save whosoever will come unto him. Wisdom seeks a future blessing. Wisdom seeks a future reward. Wisdom seeks the most important of all outcomes, and that's eternal life with God. And so, notice the Bible relates these two things together. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is one. God wants you to bear much fruit in your life. That fruit of his presence in you. Much fruit and more fruit. Why? Because it's linked together with the winning of souls. It is linked together with the winning of souls. And then take it, the Bible says that pulling some out of the fire. The Bible says having compassion, making a difference. You see, love and compassion, care and concern, investment in the lives of others makes a difference. And what a vital difference it makes. Oh, thank God for those who have cared for you. Thank God for those who prayed for you. Thank God for those who continually invited you to church. Those who word you to death. Some of you have people that, and you know what, they just word you to death. And I've heard several testimonies from one of my dear friends, one of my closest friends from the past, who's with the Lord now. You know what? You know why he got saved? Because of the light worried him to death. Every Sunday, she would look at him and say, "You going to church with me today?" He said, "No. Don't ask me that." But every service, she would ask him. He'd get mad, but she'd just go ahead. "Are you going to church with me today?" And finally, one Sunday night, it was a revival meeting. One revival meeting. He said, "If you will shut your mouth, I will go to the service." Listen, he went to that service, and he was eat up with conviction. And he went back the next Sunday, walked down that aisle, gave his life to Christ.
Amen.
Listen, you know why? Because of the fruits of caring. Fruits of caring. The fruits of desperation. You see, we tell folk we believe in heaven and hell. But that's only realized when they see the fervency and urgency that we have about it. If we were traveling down the road and all of a sudden we were horrified to find that over the bay the bridge was out and it was 100-foot fall. And we drove back to the beginning of the bridge and stopped. Folk come by and said, "You okay?" "Yep." "How you doing?" "Well, the bridge is out." "What bridge?" "Well, this bridge is out." And you know, they were listening. Something wrong with that guy. I mean, I don't think he's in the right mind. What in the world is he? They're going to question the sincerity of your statement. I'm going to tell you, if I don't see a car go off the end of that thing and drop 100 foot and folks scream because, listen, they knew certain death is coming. If I'm standing at the bridge, I'm not going to say, "Well, the bridge is out." I'm going to holler, "The bridge is out! Stop!" You know what? They'll believe what I have to say more likely because there's an urgency. Would to God we had some more tears for those that look like that they're going to make. Would to God we had more compassion. You see, God says, "You're like a tree of life. I want the fruits of your life. All that impacts the power of the seed that you're trying to share." When they see, wow, God will work in their lives. Be that tree, bear that fruit. Preacher, I care for you, but you know what? I need some more fruit. I have compassion. Well, I'll tell you what. It's about there being, I need bigger compassion. Lord, I try to be kind. I try to be good. I try to be helpful. I try to serve. But those fruits, they're little on the people's side. God help me.